Blog Talk Radio.
Marco Thompson, there was a period of time that he was gone for 3 weeks. And when he finally returned on the fourth week,
he quit.
Shut up.
Sorry.
He comes back for a week and then he's gone.
He quit.
But
he's drinking tonight.
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Now, next week, Dan, we have Anthony Chico, Papa Don's personal ring announcer, will be joining us.
Whatever.
I can tell how excited you are.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I was. He's a bad guy, and I don't like bad guys.
This is Niles Young, the greasiest and most dastardly Italian in all of professional wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Mike Reed, where does he sit?
Where does he stand? He's a dummy. Mike Reed's a dummy, and I'll tell you why. Because he still wrestles for the Monster Factory.
Now, the views and opinions expressed by Robert Knight are his only. The godfather of hardcore, Joel Goodhart. How you doing tonight, Joel?
We're doing fine, and just remember one thing. We wrestled, we brawled, and we did it all.
Hey, guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
And welcome to yet another edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. That's right. You can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Law. And where can the people find you, Dan?
Whatever. I don't care. Dan Law 83.
There you go. Now, Dan, we will be joined later on by Omega Squad. You can find him at Omega Squad on Twitter. Now, Dan, go ahead.
I really wish that I had a literal name to my literal handle online.
I'm not sure what you mean, Dan.
Omega Squad. I mean, that's it, pretty much it.
Still not following. But subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. What?
Nothing.
Proudly part of the BradyHicks.com. Follow on Twitter, and that's at HIAC Talk Radio. And like the Facebook, that's Facebook.com/Cell in a Hell. Call in, join the madness at 718-664-9133. And again, 718-664-9133.
I think we should get Macho Man to do our hotline. I guess we couldn't. Call him to join the madness? No.
Our confirmed guest tonight will be Ophidian. He's going to come back. It's his return. Since the last time we saw him, Dan, he has molted. He has a new skin.
Oh, very interesting.
So we're going to find out what that's all about. We're also going to bring on the Greek god Papadon. No, not the Greek god Papadon, but his personal ring announcer, Dan.
You tease.
His personal ring announcer, and that is Anthony Chico. I know how excited you were about this.
I am so excited that I'm so glad that you played that twice so I can remember how excited I was.
And of course, we have Robert Knight is not here. He is on the trail of some stereophonic counterfeiters. That's right, stereophonic counterfeiters. And we have another hero stepping in his place. More on that when the time comes.
American Roughneck's coming back?
Oh, good Lord. The Roughneck.
Well, yeah, okay.
And we're also going to be joined by the Banana Man, as Bass Rudin called him. That's right, we have Ryan Hollis from Legacy Fighting Championships. And he came out to a fight with a banana suit on. And he won. He's 2-1 on his very young career.
Somebody that bad, I'm not going to make fun of him for wearing a banana suit. You know, I'm just saying.
I would hope not.
No way. You can wear whatever you want, sir.
That's right. So, Dan, how are things? It's great to be back here.
It is great to be back. Not just doing the best of, even though that last week made me realize how much I love you, Dean.
Well, thank you, Dan.
And I really like this show and what we've done so far in a short amount of time. This week's going to be on fire. Next week, it's going to be a busy week, and it's going to be on fire. I'm excited for. Can you feel it?
Well, there you go, Dan. So,
I had a heart attack. I'm okay.
You did. Now, we are going to be joined by Ophidian in just a few moments, a few short moments. Now, one of the things that he did, Dan, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, he came out with a single.
No.
Yes, Ophidian sings, Dan.
Oh, no.
And we're going to get him on right after we hear a little sample of it.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit death from the original sinner, the snake spirit.
Snake style. As Hanuna killed the masses, shocked the masses of the lifeless and hapless. Funky Pharaoh thought he had the control. Like Shang Tsung, I had to steal your soul. In front of my eyes, I watched the victory's fade. But you was unmade, the scene was so fake. Despite being woven from the same thread, you better off dead with a kick to the head. It was the end of the round, the life bar was beaten down. Like Bane versus the Bat, you lay broken on the mat. You should have listened when Stone Cold told ya. Don't trust anyone, especially a Cobra.
Don't trust anyone, especially a cobra. Welcome to the show, Ophidian. You are back on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I don't even know where to start. You have so much going on right now.
Well, I want to know, you know, what made you decide to spread your message with a single like that?
Well, first and foremost, my friends at Hell in a Cell Radio, I just want to tell you a little bit of what's happening right here, right now. I'm coming live to you from the Chikara Wrestle Factory. Yes, yes, yes. So if you happen to hear some moans, some groans, some heartbreaking action happening in the background, that is why. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, that's good to know. Now, as Dan said, why did you decide to spread the message through that music?
Well, I could have expressed my feelings for Amasis, my hatred, my dislike for that man, in the form of a promo. Yes, yes, yes. You looked all over. You've watched wrestling for years. You know, YouTube is covered. It's littered with promos. But you see, my hatred for Amasis goes deeper than that. Yes, yes, yes. To take the time out of my life to produce a beat, to figure out words that flow together in a rhythm over said beat, and then to enter a studio and record it. Yes, yes, yes. That is way more insulting.
I like where you're going with that. So with those vicious beats, that's the ultimate insult is what you're telling me.
Absolutely. Not only does he, as he heard the song, because I know he has, but the rest of the world has, he has to live on that this song is on the internet, that people are buying it, they're putting money just buying this song. They're showing their dislike for Amasis just the same way I have. Yes,
well,
yes, yes.
Yeah. Yes, I can certainly agree with that. Now, this weekend, you have a lot going on. I believe there's some type of art show you're involved with. Tell us a little bit about that.
Why, yes, this Friday at the Philomoka in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is located on 12th and Spring Garden, I will be performing my single Death to Amasis with Haley Jane, who sings the chorus of that song as well. It is a wrestling experience. inspired art show. It's called The Blank Canvas. You'll see a lot of paintings and drawings and masks and things related, art-type things that relate to pro wrestling. You'll have live music from bands inspired by pro wrestling, one of those bands being the Mystery Men. Yes, yes, yes. They are lucha rock gods, luchadors that perform in masks on stage. You also have the Philadelphia Improv Comedy Troupe that will be there as well, with myself and Haley Jane and the other stars of Chikara Pro.
Do you have an address for this for people that want to get down there and see this?
Unfortunately, not in front of me due to me being at the Wrestle Factory currently, but it is on 12th and Spring Garden.
12th and Spring Garden.
It's right outside of Center City, Philadelphia.
There, that's good enough for me. Now, also this weekend, you have an iPay-per-view. Chikara, it's their season finale. Tell us about this and where we can see it.
Oh, the season finale. I will be, along with a Batyrian Delirious, heading into battle with Spectral Envoy, which are led to battle by Ultramantis Black. Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, Crossbones, and Blind Rage will be joining him. That is going to be live on iPay-Per-View out of the Trocadero in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
That, you can go to www.smbod.com, which is Smart Mark Steel Hunt Man, smbod.com, or chikarapro.com to pick up the feed for that show. And live on iPay-Per-View with a 4 p.m. bell time. It's going to be tremendous. Many a matches. You've got the Young Bucks defending the Chikara Campeonatos de Parejas against the 1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty.
Oh.
You've got, yes, I know. You've got Eddie Kingston versus Kim Dodds for the Chikara Grand Championship. Yes, yes. Mr. Touchdown will defend his Young Lions Cup Championship against ACH. As well as many, many other matches, again, including mine, like 5-on-5 war, me and the rest of the Batiri against the Spectral Envoy.
What is your strategy going into a 5-on-5 match like that?
Well, you see, there's a lot of history between the Spectral Envoy and the Batiri. Yes, our overlord, Batiri, Delirious, I'm sorry, I'm a little out of breath. I was just got done training. Our overlord, Delirious, has been training us, has been molding us, has been helping me with my snake style, has been helping me transform, hit my final evolution, which, again, will be this Sunday live on iPay-Per-View. We've entered into King of Trios. We've been having trios and Atomicos matches throughout the year preparing for a bout just like this. That is how you get prepared for it. You battle over and over and over again. Yes, yes, yes. The Batiri and myself are undefeated in action together.
Well, that is information I was not aware of. So,
yes.
So I'm excited to see this. Is there anything else going on in there? Like, my goodness, what's going on back there?
He already told you, they're training.
You know what, let's talk about Delirious. Let's talk about the Batiri. Yes, let's talk about my transformation.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. Since last time we saw you, or we talked to you, you molted your skin. You transformed. Tell us about that.
Yes, yes. You see, I'll take a step back. I'll talk about what we talked about last time to continue this conversation for those who are unaware of where I'm at in life. Yes, yes, yes. At the end of last year, at Chikara's iPay-Per-View High Noon, I did the unspeakable. I killed Amasis, like my single says. Yes, yes. At High Noon, I killed Amasis. I took his mask in front of the world. After that, I gave my mask up. The mask of Ophidian, the soul of Ophidian. Yes, it's because I dishonored it. I'd been dancing. I'd been acting a fool. You've seen the video. He's using hypnosis, the world's most illegal move, the most illegal move in professional wrestling history. kind of embarrassed because of the name of the Assyrian portal.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So I did not earn the right, I did not have the right to don that soul. So I went searching. I decided that snake style was the path for me to go. Yes, 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 yes. With snake style, I've earned the right to evolve. I started off at just a face, a leech, if you will, wearing a crimson mask over that leech face. Because it was ugly. I was dishonored, and not, I did not have the right to show my face in public. Come to Car Source Rex, the iPay-per-view in June. I evolved. I transformed using snake style. The snakes that were living in my brain, those souls of Hamasis and Hierakon, broke through into the shape of horns. Yes, yes, yes. And now, I've mastered snake style. And with the help of Delirious, with his guidance, allowing me to be the commander of the Batiri, Commander Ophidian. Yes, 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 is what they call me. I have commanded the Batiri to victory. I have taken the guidance from Delirious, and I've used that to hit my final transformation, final form of Ophidian. Yes, yes, shows up this Sunday.
So
snake style is what brought me there. It's snake style. It's what will keep me there.
So if I'm to understand correctly, snakes were actually living in your brain.
The snakes have broken through my skull. They were painful. It was like electrical currents shooting through my body. I was convulsing. You see it if you've ever watched me perform. Yes, yes, yes. You see that I shake, I quiver, I convulse. It hurts sometimes.
Oh, I don't know how to follow that up. Dan,
well,
I believe you had.
I want to follow it up. With all this entertainment, you got to tell us where we can get the single. We got to hear where we can get this message. Where can we get your song?
You can currently download it at OphidianTheCobra.bandcamp.com, which is one place. So you can also pick up Ophidian merch at that website as well. Or you can go to my Facebook page under the Buy Music tab. It's another place you can pick it up. Or you can buy it on iTunes through Chikara. You just search for Chikara through iTunes, and they have it as well. Yes, yes. So you have many options. Facebook, you have Bandcamp, and you have iTunes, where you can pick up my single. Yes, yes, yes.
All right. And now people who want to follow you and your career as you do all these things, where can people follow you?
Oh, at Facebook, you can find me at Ophidian Cobra. On Twitter, I'm Ophidian Cobra. Or at Bandcamp, Ophidian the Cobra. The Facebook and Twitter don't lie to put the in there. Apparently, the is not a middle name to them, although it's my middle name. Facebook's way off on that.
Yeah, well, you know, a little behind
this Sunday, as you said, this Friday, I'll be at the Philomoka, yes. This Sunday, I'll be at the Trocadero, both in Philadelphia. Yes, 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 yes.
I have one quick question. You wrestled at the Trocadero before, correct?
Yes.
What is it like being, it's primarily a theater or music venue. Is there any different atmosphere going in there?
The Trocadero is a unique venue. It truly is. It has these balconies, stadium-style seating for something, you know, a venue that is so small as it is. The Trocadero originally, a little bit of a history lesson, was a burlesque theater. They did way back in the day. It was primarily a burlesque venue. So it is set up in that way with the balcony seating. So when you perform there, when you're in the ring, it's in the middle of the mosh pit section, that pit down on the bottom where people, you know, kind of ram themselves into each other like morons over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Fitting that they would put a professional wrestling ring in that spot.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
Yeah, so as you're there in the ring and you look above, you can see faces surrounding you in the balconies. It's an amazing venue. It looks wonderful on tape. And the energy in that building is just so vibrant and exciting. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
The Trocadero is a wonderful place for pro wrestling. Kaiju Big Battle has run there as well. And even when they were there, it was a great time. But now it is our venue. Yes.
Well, that's great information. Now, do you have any final words for your opponents this Sunday, 4 p.m. bell time?
Strike first. Strike fast. Strike hard. Strike first. Strike fast. Strike hard. That is the battle cry I live by. That is the battle cry that has led the Bakiri and myself to victory over and over again. This Sunday will be no different. Snake style is the key to victory. Snake style will always, always Ultraman's Black, Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, Crossbones, Blind Rage will always win. Yes.
Ophidian, it's always a pleasure. Safe travel, sir.
Oh, yes. As always, thank you.
Okay, everyone, that was Ophidian. We're going to play out his single one more time, and we'll be right back.
Awesome.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit death from the original sinner, the snake spirit.
Snake style. As Hanuna killed Mosses, shocked the masses of the lifeless and hapless. The funky pharaoh thought he had the control. Like Shang Tsung had to steal your soul. In front of my eyes, I watched the victory's fade. But she was unmade, the scene was so fake. Despite being woven from the same thread, you better off dead with a kick to the head. It was the end of the round, the life bar was beaten down. Like Bane versus the Bat, you lay broken on the mat. You should have flinched when Stone Cold told ya. Don't trust anyone, especially a Cobra. I'm not some pet snake that dances for his master. The Pharaoh's asking for a...
All right, if you would like to pick up that single, you can find it at Ophidian the Cobra. .bandcamp.com. So
I mean, as exciting as he sounds, imagine what he's like in the ring. I mean, that is a ticket. That's worth ticket price right there. And at Trocadero, I've seen a few shows there, non wrestling related. I would try to get down there the best I could on Saturday.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And Friday night, don't forget, he's going to be performing that live at Philomoka.
I've already downloaded the single. Like, no, that's a shoot.
How do you think I'm playing it?
It's all, well, I did not know.
Yeah, so, my goodness.
Yeah.
I am, that was great, Dan.
No.
Ophidian,
I love it.
A friend of the show at this point, I'd say. A true friend.
You know what? Again, one of those guys that he's got to keep coming back because he's ever-changing and ever... I don't know. Ever-changing. I got nothing.
He's molting.
I trailed off. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I couldn't think of it.
Now, Dan, I'm telling you, ECWA returns to action at the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club coming up this Saturday. Now,
December 1st.
December 1st, that's for sure. You're also going to see Chris Wilde take on Josh Daniels for the ECWA Unified Heavyweight Championship.
I got Josh Daniels on that one.
You never know. He has plenty of submissions. He has plenty of strikes. He's definitely, definitely someone to not look over. I think this is very serious. And I might say, 19 months ago, Josh Daniels was victorious over Chris Wilde,
yep,
in Voorhees, New Jersey, for a TWA show.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, so...
You never know. We might have a new champion crown.
That's for sure. But another big match, Dan, coming up this Saturday. 103 Glasgow Drive. Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, Delaware.
That's right.
It's a different spot.
That's right. Newark, Delaware. 103 Glasgow Drive. You're going to see a grudge match take place between the Greek god Papadon and the full-blooded Italian, Tony Mamaluke. Now, at Witching Hour, on October 20th, during introductions, Papadon went for an uncharacteristic handshake, Dan.
Whoa.
Mama Luke popped him in the eye. Busted him wide open.
I can't see why anybody would do that to Papadon.
I'm trying to be serious here, Dan.
I am. I'm being serious. I mean, he's a stand-up guy. He tells it like it is. I just don't understand why anybody would do that to him.
So we got a grudge match there. Of course, Anthony Chico.
Anthony Chico. Yeah.
Anthony Chico will be here to discuss that as well.
Goody Two Shoes.
And right now I'm just checking a few things out. But Dan.
Now, that match, I mean, you talk about feuds and grudge matches in wrestling. The blood is boiling on that one.
I think it really has to do. That was the first time they ever met, by the way, at Witching Hour. And I think they just, and it ended in a draw.
Yeah. They're unfinished business there like you wouldn't believe.
Who's going to win? Who? And both guys, Papadon, of course, trying to get back into the title hunt, because at this point I think he's gone through all his rematches.
I can't pick one. I can't pick one on that one.
But wouldn't you say he's gone through his rematches? He, of course, had a rematch at the K-Cup. He was involved in a triple threat at Carney's Point.
Oh, I agree. I mean, at a certain point, somebody have to hit the reset button, right?
That's right. So I think he's starting over, you know, at the bottom of the card. Well, not the bottom of the card, but the mid card.
Please don't hit me, sir.
And Mama Luke, of course, has he won a match yet in ECWA? I think it's been draws and...
I think it's draws and...
lost in the four-way.
Yep. Please, again, don't hit me, sir.
Something interesting, though, that would happen in that four-way is right after the bell rung, Mama Luke tapped out to Papadon. Or was it Josh? He tapped out to somebody.
He taps out, but that doesn't count because it was after the bell rang. So, you know, it's like it didn't really happen, technically.
But it did happen, Dan.
It happened, but it didn't happen during the bell, so therefore we write that off.
I see where you're going with that. So
Thank you.
Dan, what I'm going to do right now, promotional consideration.
Paid for by the following.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXT 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papadon Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Corino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Date Dating and Relationship Show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
To get in the cell, call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
All right, Dan, so we're back.
I must say, out of all the shows on TheBradyHicks.com, Dimple Date's my favorite.
I can't wait till Captain Dave guest hosts
an
episode of Dimple Date.
And I will stop listening.
Now, here's another... You listen to Dimple Date?
Anybody listen to Dimple Date?
You're one of the five listeners, Dan.
I'm one of the three. I killed the other two.
Fair enough. Now, of course, what's going on right now, it's the Who's Slammy.
Oh, yes.
And we're up for like 500 different categories.
Well, you know.
The one I really want to win, though, Dan, is Best Rivalry, and that is Dean Dixon. That's right. The Dean of Credibility, telling it like it is, each and every week, versus the Monster Factory.
Which is funny, because you didn't say a damn thing about the Monster Factory. It was three other guys and me.
The Dean of Credibility, that's right. Dan, you're up for an award, too, though. You're up for Best Impression.
I'm up for Best Impression of one of the greatest blah 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 WWE divas ever, Cindy Lauper.
I hope she goes in the Hall of Fame this year, Dan.
I hope I win this award.
You're leading by a hefty margin as it stands.
And I want to thank everybody for voting for me and voting for us. I really hope Dean wins Best Rivalry, but I really hope I don't win anything. I'd really like to win that.
That would be fun. Now, Dan, of course, Anthony Chico is going to join us in just a moment, but I have his theme music, wait. Dan.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry.
I am telling you, welcome to the show, Anthony Chico.
You've got to be kidding me.
Well, you know.
It's not unusual, Anthony.
It's the only song fitting for the voice of godly thunder.
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing at this. That had to be Dan's idea.
I swear to God, I had nothing to do with that one.
That was all me. That was all me. Now,
it's all because, you know what, he's got a sense of humor.
Yeah, that's why I decided to go with It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones. And my goodness.
You know, not for nothing, but you hear the words godly thunder, you don't even think of God of Thunder by Kiss. How do you not do that?
Well, because I don't think of crap.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow, yes. You just stepped on Kiss.
So first this guy categorizes me as a bad guy and doesn't like me, and now all of a sudden, he's putting Tom Jones above Kiss.
Well, I didn't put... Whoa. Let's be clear. I did not put Tom Jones above Kiss. Mind you, he thought of that, not me.
You know what? I think it deserves another round. Come on, guys. All right, we're back.
That's such a bad idea, because I guarantee you at any point, if they're actually going to play music for me at the ECWA, Joe Zanoli is going to turn around and tell the music guy, Josh, to play that song,
well,
no matter
you.
What I want.
Yeah,
I certainly hope that comes to pass.
You're welcome.
You're planting a terrible seed, man.
And you know what? You aligned yourself with a bad guy. You are thus a bad guy, okay? I'm just saying.
Oh, listen, I aligned myself with the best. I mean, he's the one who, he heard my voice. He said, you know what, you're too good to be dealing with the rest of the roster. And, you know, I should have just been with him. So that's what happened. And, you know, it's not my fault that he was, you know, the champion at the time.
I agree,
where the money goes, man.
I'll give you that one.
I'm going to rewind a little bit. I want to know a little bit about how you broke into this business, the ring announcing. Why did it interest you? And why did you want to get involved in that role?
Let's see. Quite a few years ago, I was more interested in, like, really getting into, like, radio and stuff like that. But... you know, didn't have whatever it was, college, all this other, you know, stuff that proves that you're smart, apparently, or something. And
I'm right with you on that one.
Yeah, so, you know, being a big wrestling fan, there were a couple local shows around by me, and I got the chance. There was a couple of promoters who ran in New York, and they gave me, you know, a chance to ring announce. And then Damian Dragon actually had run a show in Jersey, Central Jersey, in Passaic. And I had ring announced at the time, and then Papa Don was actually on the show, and he heard me, and he said, he's like, I got to talk to the guys down in Delaware. We got to get you down there. So as far as the ECWA is concerned, I'm actually aligned with the right person, because he's the guy who actually spoke up for me and put me onto the ECWA.
Now, you said you were influenced on the radio, and who were you listening to? Was there anybody you were listening to specifically while you were growing up?
It wasn't even like talk radio. It was, you know, listening to, like, you know, the big stations over here, Z100, stuff like that. And I really got into it around, you know, 95, 96. I mean, I was only, like, I don't know, 14 years old. But,
right.
You know, you listen to it, you know, long enough, and you're like, man, I want to do this.
So, you know, you call up the radio station enough times, and one or two DJs on the radio used to just put me on the air, just kind of, you know, oh, I need somebody to say this, this, or that, and they'd record it and throw it on the air. And
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it kind of went from there.
So it was Damian Dragon, Papa Don Hergy. Now, when did you get involved with ECWA? Because would you consider that your big break at this point?
Absolutely. Just over a year ago, I think it was the show. It was, what was the big match on the show? It was just before the first K-Cup. It was Kikoa and Adam Cole, I want to say two, because
yeah,
they had a series of matches, but I want to say it was number two, and at the time, Chris Wilde was the Mid-Atlantic champion, and that was my first show. Their normal ring announcer at the time was Roland, and he couldn't make it that night, so I was you know, given the chance, and then the boss came over to me and said, you know, you want to come in next month, and that was for the K-Cup. Kind of caught me by surprise. He's like, you know, I want you to do the K-Cup. I'm like, yeah, but that's a whole tournament. He's like, yeah, that's fine. You know, I think you'll make it sound good. So it went from there.
We all await that moment, Anthony, when the boss comes out and gives us a touch. It's like the woman that was waiting for Jesus as he passed by and reaches out and touches his robe. But maybe I went too far with that now.
I thought maybe you were comparing his touch to a womanly touch.
Either way, let's move on. So the K-Cup's your first show that you were on.
Hold
and
on.
What?
Well,
oh, you're next.
It was
I'm
the
sorry,
first,
Dave.
Like big show. The yeah, it was one of the regular, you know, monthly. I think it had to be September of 2011. It had to be the September 2011 show was the first one.
That would be the 44th. Yeah, the 44th anniversary show.
Was it?
Yes.
It's possible. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I guess so, yeah, because, again, it was my first show, so I just went in there with the cards and everything, and, you know, I was just filling it out and meeting everybody. So I wasn't really – I don't want to say I wasn't paying attention to the show, because I was, but it was – I was just, you know, going down the line and reading the – you know, doing the intros and trying not to screw up the first time.
Well, I was going to ask you that first show or even the first major show. You're back there. You have notes to take and information to get. What's going through your head? You walk through the curtain the first time. You grab the microphone and you go to say your first word. What was going through your head? How did it come out?
I hope it came out fine. I don't think I actually ever got that show on DVD, so I don't know to look back and. You know, and see it. I don't know if I want to.
Tells an only, he's going to sell it to you.
I mean, there are a couple of them. Unfortunately, for some reason, most of the DVDs I have are, the last few DVDs, I'm just getting my butt kicked. I mean, for like three, I think one of almost the last three shows, practically, I either got landed on or clotheslined.
That's a living.
Well, you know, it helps. As long as, you know, if I'm the one getting hit, then, you know, I guess it's better than Papa Don getting hit at the time, right?
That you, well, yeah.
Oh, well, no, he's trained for it.
Yeah, I saw the video of that. I noticed that that clothesline that Joel Blackheart and I took, apparently Papa Don and Breaker just kind of sidestepped Chris Lyle. I was wondering what happened.
Huh.
You never know. You never know.
I don't know if you get the gumption to, you know, ask him. No, but were you nervous at all? Did you have it all figured out?
Pretty much. I was nervous, absolutely, because it's like, you know, first day on a new job type of thing where it's like, if I screw this up, then, you know, this is a big break. You screw this up, you go home and you're not called again. But apparently that's not how it went. But I was nervous, absolutely.
So moving along, you went into that role. Roland eventually left the company on his own accord, and you were the guy. Then earlier this year, I believe it was War Games, they bring in that ECW legend, Bob Ortiz. Now, or as you call him, Bob Arthritis.
Whatever you want to call him.
Now, did you feel that was a moment in time that you were like, I'm not being appreciated here?
Well, that's exactly what happened. I mean, there was two or three matches on that card where I'm about to walk to the ring, and, you know, he just kind of walks past me and either taps me on the shoulder and says, oh, I'm announcing this match, or, you know, just kind of, as he's walking past me, just kind of grabs the mic and keeps going. And, I, you know, that's why at the very end I kind of stood there and I'm for the main event, and I said, not even the main event, which was disrespectful enough that they didn't put the champion in the main event, but that's for another time. I'm there for that match, and I'm doing whatever the little announcement is, either birthdays or the next event. And then I see him walk in the ring with Finnegan, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, they're taking away – now this is the heavyweight championship, and now they're taking this away from me too. So that's why I refused to leave the ring. I just kind of stayed there, and, you know, he did his little intro for the challenger, and I turned around, I grabbed the mic, and I said, I told him, I'm the ECWA ring announcer. That's the ECWA champion. This is my job. Get out of the ring. And, you know, I just got to the point where I was a little bit too, a little offended. And I just got a little, you know, a little annoyed. And we saw what happened from there.
I would say annoyed is a good word for it.
Well, yeah, that night you took it out on John Finnegan. Some people would say he deserved it. Others would say he's an innocent bystander.
I would say I'd say he deserved it.
He was just in the way of the door. I mean, I would have just taken the door and, you know, blocked it the way I did, but he was kind of holding on to it.
It was like Kurt Hennig and Ric Flair at War Games 97. He was just in the way, and he closed the door on his head.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not my fault that he was in between the door and the cage.
I absolutely agree with that. Now, and you aligned yourself that night. You locked the door. Papadon attacks Chris Wilde. You can debate whether that awoke a sleeping giant within Chris Wilde, transformed him into
I don't know if you noticed this, but there's not many things that are very giant about Chris Wilde. He's a small man.
I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Me neither. Me neither. Now, so it's debatable
By the way, I have a feeling that he's going to jump all over that either later tonight or tomorrow, because he's going to say, bad choice of words, Chico. And he's going to jump all over it like he did about the promos before the unification match.
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying he's a short man. Short in stature.
We got it. No, I support
that. Okay.
And for somebody who is also short in stature, I take offense to that.
Anyway, so after that night... you're going to make me do it again, Dan. Here it comes.
I want to be... I'm going to put my own disclaimer. Dean's doing that, not me.
It's great. Come on. Anybody would love to come out to the ring to that. Anyway, moving right along. After that night, you aligned yourself with the Greek god Papadon. Now, would you consider yourself simply his personal ring announcer, or are you a manager at this point?
I am his personal ring announcer. I'd like to think that I fill a managerial role. In fact, on the ECWA website, I am listed under managers. Even though, like I said, all the other managers that are listed have their pictures on that site, and I don't. But again, that's another bone to pick with other people. But
it really seems. I don't mean to cut you off, but it really seems that you're underappreciated.
Absolutely, I think that's exactly why I wound up, turning on, I guess, you know, quote unquote, the good guys. Going and turning on them in the first place. I was underappreciated, and Papadon was the one who said, you know, no, you're better than this, and you should be working with the best. And that's what happened.
Well, I was going to say, and you want to put this on the worker shoot side of it, whatever you want to do, I don't understand why you're not doing the announcing, man. I don't get it.
Why am I?
You're not doing the ring announcing. I don't get it.
I don't either. I mean, at the last, however, at the last, the event, this last event we had, I actually was on commentary. So if you guys buy the DVD, I'll actually be doing color commentary.
Well, there you go. So you never know what opportunities may
better
be.
Than the last guy.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh, well, let's not talk about Dombrowski. But now, Chico, we got a big thing coming up now. Papadon, Tony Mamaluke, you were there at Witching Hour. Mamaluke cheap-shotted Papadon, busted him wide open.
I was listening to you before. I was wondering if you actually watched that match. Because, unless you really condensed everything, because you kind of, you said, you know, as Papadon did, you said, you know, he put his hand out for a handshake, and that Mamaluke popped him in the eye. And there was a couple of minutes in between there. I mean, I don't actually know exactly where it happened, but it wasn't just like a, you know, handshake and, no, I'm not shaking your hand, bang, right in the head.
No, I'm saying it boiled to a point.
Yeah, I mean, it was, as you know, if you go back and watch the match, I believe it happened as it was, you know, Papadon was kind of whipped into the ropes, and Mamaluke just kind of followed him. And as soon as Papadon turned around, he basically elbow forearm right into his eyebrow.
Those dirty Italians.
Hey,
have you seen the last name?
Yeah,
it's not law, you know.
You know what? That's I was actually impressed by that, and then I realized why you were able to do it when you came over and said to me, "Oh, Chico, right?" And I said, "Oh, wow, you know how to pronounce my name."
Yeah,
and I figured it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So
I cheated.
I'm not sure how involved you are in the strategy planning sessions that Papadon has, but Do you have anything to give us as far as his strategy? What is he going to do to Mamaluke when they lock up this Saturday at Toys for Tots?
Well, the main point of this match is the fact that there is no time limit. Like Ooh. You said earlier, you know, Tony Mamaluke really hasn't had a chance to really win the match. You know, I mean, you know, he has his chances, but look who he faced. He faced Josh Daniels, and then he faced Papadon, and they both went to time limit draws. You know, so this is massive talent on both sides, and that's not going to happen this time because, I mean, the massive talent's going to happen, but the time limit draw cannot happen this time, and I think Papadon is fed up. I mean, you listen to his older, you know, videos that he would put out and tell everybody, you know, what he wants to do with the match, and he never got mad to the point where he didn't bother translating anymore. You know, like this time he was just he's yelling in Greek. He's speaking in Greek, and you haven't really heard that from him. You know, I think he got to the point where he doesn't care anymore. This has gone past the point of, you know, just getting a pinfall. So, I mean, my job at this point, I think, is to go into the ring, do his announcement, his introduction, and get the hell out of his way.
Probably pretty sound advice. We've seen people like Brady Hicks that have gotten in his way before. We've seen...
Yeah, and by the way, that was hilarious.
I agree.
Oh, come on. Now, speaking of the devil, here's Brady Hicks. Brady, are you there?
Yeah, I did not hit one that I wanted to talk.
You did at first, but now you're in. So they're talking about you, Brady. How are you going to fire back?
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say, Dean? I mean, you know, we had an argument. He hit me. I mean, there's nothing else to say. It's over.
Fair enough. So, Brady, I'll put you back on hold.
Sounds good.
All right. That was...
You see this? You know what that means? That means that this voice has enough talent that people like Brady Hicks they're not satisfied enough with just listening to the show on their computer. They have to pick up their phone and call just to hear me talk.
What can I say?
That's a good point. You got me on that one.
The minute he said that he didn't want to talk, I was like, oh, that's cute. He just wants to hear my voice closer to his ear.
Oh, my goodness. So,
you know what I want to hear one more time, D?
I know what I want to hear. I'll tell you.
That's right. Yeah.
right, enough of the shenanigans. Now, we're talking about business here, Chico.
Man, you know how hard it is. Thank God you guys, nobody did this at a show, because that would have broken me right there.
So, Chico, you're staying out of Papa Don's way. Where do you see Papa Don fitting in on the hierarchy at ECWA? I mean, is he – because we made the point before you came on that he's really starting at the bottom again, starting all over. Since he went 20-0 to start out his ECWA career, he has now hit some serious road bumps in the way.
Oh, yeah, road bumps, yeah. But I don't think at all that he's starting at the bottom. I mean, there was a – I think if it's a matter of putting it in a ranking, obviously you'd have to put Chris Wilde first. He's the champion for one reason or the other. Then you have, you know, obviously he has a number one contender, so Josh Daniels maybe at the right now, number two. And then, you know, your secondary champion, you know, the Mid Atlantic Championship, Mr. La La, I would put Papa Don right behind that. And starting at the bottom, I think even that comment is very inaccurate, especially considering you have – I mean, look who he's facing Saturday. You know, Tony Mameluke. Tony Mameluke is nowhere near the bottom of the rung, you know, near the bottom rung of the, you know, of the ECWA ladder. I mean, I don't know who would be at this point, but because of that, I don't want to start any more drama. But my opinion doesn't really mean too much. But
I heard Cole Calloway was a bottom.
Actually, he was.
You have all these songs and everything to play. You got a rim shot there too.
No, but I'm sure Cole Calloway has a rim shot.
Rim shot, oh. I said, by the way, rim shot.
Oh, damn it! Stop it. This is a respectable program, Dan.
Now, not that there's anything wrong with that. There's respectable.
There you go. So
I mean, you know, good for him.
I heard that he kind of just forces his way to the bottom.
Well, you stop it, Dan.
I mean, see, but you got to be careful. You got to be careful with what you say to Cole Calloway, because I hear he can get a little anal sometimes.
And the win goes to Anthony Chico. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
No, you won't. Hang up.
So Saturday, you're staying out of his way. That's the plan. I hope you don't get clobbered again, because every time I've seen you on the outside, you get clobbered. So what's your plan besides staying out of Papa Don's way?
It's just hitting Finnegan again.
That would be great, but this guy's like a full-grown Pillsbury Doughboy at this point. It's really hard to do any damage to him. You saw, like, you see what happened when he got hit with the door? He just kind of rolled.
Right?
There was really no impact.
Fresh
just
like that?
When he got hit with the Alpha Omega at the K Cup, I thought that was the best moment I've ever seen.
I'm sorry.
He kind of rolled to the side and then was like propped up against the ropes. It was such a wonderful moment. But anyway, Chico, I go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, right before Chico starts, we have a new name for Finnegan, and it's Poppin' Fresh.
Poppin' Fresh. I don't know, man. I called him the Dairy Queen. I don't know if you saw that.
For those who don't know, that was the Pillsbury Doughboy's real first name, Poppin' Fresh.
Well,
yes. I'm not good seven. To thank you.
So, Chico, wrap it all up in a tight little package here for us.
Not a Cole Calloway package.
You know, I was just gonna tell you I couldn't do that on this show. You said to keep it respectable. I think most likely, well, not even most likely, this is one of the shows you do not want to miss on Saturday. And I don't know if you mentioned this already. I haven't really heard it. It is a Toys for Tots show. So above all else, this is a very, very good cause that this show is being put on for. You know, we are encouraging everybody on Saturday to bring a new unwrapped toy for Toys for Tots. But aside from that, I think it's going to be one of the most intense matches you guys have ever seen, at least in the ECWA. I mean, there's been anger back and forth between Papadon and Wild, and between Wild and Blackheart, but these two really know, you know, how to push each other's buttons. And if you saw the match in Sewell, New Jersey, for Witching Hour, you would know that. And like Joe Zanoli said, Tony Mamaluke was the first person in the ECWA to draw blood from Papa Don. And you mentioned the saying before, but I think Tony Mamaluke is the person who awoke the sleeping giant.
There you go. Harsh words? And Chico, this was a great interview with you.
Oh, why, thank you very much. This was a pretty good interview with you. And, you know what? It was a great interview with you, Dean, but Dan's got to stop judging guys based on, oh, he's bad, I don't like him.
Okay, well.
What?
Where can people... Here
I'll
we
bring
go.
Some biscuits for you or something.
Okay, you know what? Oh, man.
Where can people follow you, Chico?
You're no wrestler, pal. Let's just say that.
Where can people follow you on social networking?
Social networking. You can find me on Facebook at Anthony J. Chico, which happens to be my name, so it's not really hard to find me. You'll see my ugly mug up there. And on Twitter at ECWA Ring Voice.
Former ECWA Ring Voice. Oh, I went there. I did.
Will you stop it, Dan?
Terrible.
Chico, it's a pleasure, and you have a good night.
You too, man. I'll see you guys on Saturday, hopefully.
All right. So here we go. That was Anthony Chico. Dan, we'll be right back. All right,
I'm
we are
get that Anthony Seeker.
We are back, Dan, and I wanted to bring Brady back on. Brady, welcome back.
Hey, you know, I have to apologize about that. I hit one as soon as I called in, and then I realized you were on the air with Chico, and I thought, I don't want to be on Papa Don's radar again.
Well, fair enough, Brady. Now, I brought you on. I want to talk a little bit about December to Remember. That's, of course, New Moon Rising Wrestling's next show. That's on December 15th back at the Proving Grounds. Now, you and I, we recorded a certain commercial, and here it is, and then I want to get your thoughts about this pretty good cause.
Oh, hey guys, Jolly St. Hicks here, the Brady Hicks Network, thebradyhicks.com. I've got my Hollister punk rocker.
What are you doing playing with
figure dolls
here, Hicks?
It's an action figure, Dean. It's one of the most popular stars of New Moon Rising Wrestling.
I can understand that, but what are we doing here? You dragged me in here, I got my Christmas garb on, I'm all ready to go. Why are we here?
You don't check the memos, do you?
I don't.
December 15th, December to Remember, New Moon Rising Wrestling, in association with PBA Local 277, their second annual toy drive.
A toy drive?
A toy drive.
Kid. Now what happens if the kid happens to bring a toy in?
Well, that kid is going to get in for half price, Dean.
So how much is that? $5 for the dummies out there?
Oh, you know, it doesn't matter how much it is, because you're doing a great thing for the Ronald McDonald House. And that's what matters, that we're doing great things.
Oh, get off of me, Hicks. I'm out of here.
You didn't do anything. What do you mean you're out of here? Come out December 15th. Support us. Support the local PBA 277.
So, Brady, besides that great cause for the Ronald McDonald House, there is also a title match. Tank Toll and the Lunatic, the Dummy, taking on the champion and an overall great guy, Jake Bishop.
Aw, Dean, I am so excited for that match. It's going to be incredible. The absolute intensity in the match between Justin America and Tank Tolan last month. I don't even know what to say, Dean. I know that's one of your favorite phrases of mine, but I don't know what to say. It's going to be incredible.
Says it a lot.
You know, you ask me for constructive criticism. I'll give it to you, pal. I'll give it to you. Now...
Yeah, I ain't your pal.
Oh, come on.
Well, every time he tries to be your pal, you throw his hand off. You know,
he does the same thing to me.
You're so nice to him, Dean, let me tell you.
Anyway. So, we have a few more matches. I don't think they've been announced to the public quite yet, but... Brady, do you want to hang around? Robert Knight will not be here tonight, but we do have another hero taking his place.
Oh, no.
Absolutely, sure. I can't wait to hear who it is.
Okay, so what I'm going to do here is find this special music.
Rough day.
Here we go.
Come with America, land that I love, lay beside me, guide me.
Welcome to the show. It's Justin America on the program Justin America. Get it?
Waka waka.
Double T.
Oh,
Wayne Hicks.
So
well,
Justin.
Well, he didn't call me by my real name, but at least it was better than meh.
But I'm excited to have you here. This is actually your first public
it
speaking.
It is. First time, long time.
but
I want to talk about the Eagles right now. First time, long time.
You think Andy Reid should be fired? Anyway, this is the first time you've been in public. Well, not in public, but on public airwaves since Tank Tolan threw you through a table.
Yes, and I'd like to address that, actually, now that I have the time, if I may, Dean, if I may.
Oh, definitely. Go right ahead.
Absolutely.
Well, I woke up a few days later in the hospital. Apparently, I suffered from an extreme concussion, I believe the doctor said. And when I woke up, I spent a few hours remembering my parents fighting, and I contemplated suicide. But then I thought for 9 minutes that I should become a comedian. But then I said, no, I'm going to continue on with my career, and I'm going to push forward. So that's what I did. So I went, my lawyers, and I found that I completely forgot this, guys. I defeated the mighty Magnum XL for a number one contendership contract for the U.S. United States Championship. I'm going to cash it in at December to Remember against Ty Reno.
So you're taking on Ty Reno for that very prestigious United States title. Hicks, how do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it? What's not to be excited? It's going to be a great match.
Yeah, I have a lot to say.
How about you, Dan?
No, I'm very excited about that. I finally cashing it in, and I think it's time to get a little payback, get a little title under your hands after taking such a beating from Tank Tolan. Is he out of your sights now? Or
listen, Wayne, Tank will never be out of my sights.
Tank
is a
nice
guy.
And you're calling me Wayne. I'm trying here.
Tank is a guy that obviously needs that attention, so he had to viciously throw me through a table. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I just had a little bit of a flashback there. My dad was yelling at my mom again. he threw me through that table.
And I realized when I came to that Jake Bishop is gonna finish him, and I'm gonna finish Tyrino, which means the Me Society will have total control of Total Gold.
Yeah, that's true, because the Untouchables, of course, are in the fold.
Absolutely.
And you got rid of the dead weight in LJ Cruz.
Listen, LJ Cruz was always dead weight. From day one, I said to Jake, listen, pal, we don't need this guy around here. And he said, really, pal? We don't? I said, we don't. He said, we'll see.
Well, if I can jump in, I had a quick question.
No, as related to LJ Cruz,
how much, Justin America, how much of this U.S. title match, how much of it is about making a statement to LJ Cruz that he couldn't get the job done and you can?
46.7.
I couldn't agree more. Now, speaking of statements, Hicks, you made a couple of statements in that bathroom at Fallout.
Stop it.
Something fell out of you that night, let me tell you.
Now, I think it spoke to me when I went back in there. You forgot to close.
It was say hi, Daddy.
Did it say hi to Justin America as well?
Yeah, right in his mouth.
Oh.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So that's who was eating the rancheros.
Yeah, well, I don't eat that crap.
Yeah. Leave it to Hicks to eat that south of the border food.
It wasn't south of the border. It was that diner. Oh.
It was
good,
north
good
diner.
Gracious.
It was actually slightly north of the border.
Oh, yeah. That diner.
Oh, it was Tex-Mex then.
It was it was an undercooked pork roll. Oh, God, it was awful. Now, so the challenges are laid for... So this is big. Now, do we know what the Untouchables are up against coming up at December to Remember, if I could remember?
The Untouchables, fortunately for them, since they've been victorious in every single match that they have, because they're the greatest tag team champions in New Moon Rising Wrestling history, they have decided to use their championship benefits, and they're taking the month off.
Well,
I mean, it's not coinciding with the return of Fusion DS, is it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fusion DS does.
Fusion DS had their shot. Fusion DS had their shot. If they would have kept their eye on the prize, then maybe. No, never mind. I take that back. They wouldn't have been able to win. But maybe they would have gone to a time limit draw. But they lost.
And it was that vicious, untouchable dog that finished them off.
I can't tell you how much water hurts my eyes.
It stings, doesn't it? That's why I threw it in tank size.
Yeah, it worked. Apparently.
Oranges. Pizza. Diet
soda!
The humanity.
Yeah. Well, it was the trans fat that finished me off in that match, not Tank Tolan.
Yeah.
That's very true.
That is true.
What finished me off was the photographer.
That darn photographer getting in your way. Now, Omega Squad, I know you're here, I think. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. You saw the match. What would you think? What is that?
Vibrator.
That's what that is.
So my phone is actually dying, so I might be dropping out.
Oh, Brady.
Saying so, hold on.
As sad as that makes me.
Now, Omega, you saw the match. What did you think of that very vicious I Hate You match?
Well, I thought it was a demonstration of the total hate that two people can have for one another. There was certainly a lot of violence to be had on both sides. I thought it was a great spectacle to see.
All right, so a violent match. Justin, wrap it all up for us. What do you have to say to Ty, Pretty Boy Reno, and I use that very loosely, what do you have to say to him,
dude,
coming up at December to Remember?
Your belt is epic. And it will be mine.
Jesus Christ. I quit. I'm done.
All right, Justin. I will see you very soon, sir. And
yes, sir, Double D.
The next time I see you, I imagine you will be about 10 pounds heavier.
I believe I will.
Of muscle. 10 pounds of muscle.
No, 10 pounds of gold, Dan. Follow
no,
what I'm...
No.
Come on, DL.
All right, so 10 pounds of gold. That's right, Justin. We'll talk very soon.
Have a good one.
All right.
Gotcha.
Come with America, land that I love. Stay beside me, hang on me. Through the night, be the light from above. From the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, right before. Come with America, my home, sweet home.
I'll tell you what, Justin, America can't let it slide either, because that gold is going home to that man on December 15th. That's, of course, December to remember, Dan.
Oh, you remembered.
I did this time.
Right. And I just want to say, just when I think that we couldn't get any better, this has been, again, one of my favorites.
It always is. Now, Omega... What's going on in the world of MMA? I've been preoccupied.
Well, I think the big thing we haven't talked about here is UFC 154.
Oh, yeah. St. Pierre coming back.
St. Pierre coming back. A hard-fought five-round decision victory. Called it. Yay.
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 Hey, can you play that music again there, Dean?
No.
But George St. Pierre coming back, defending his title against a very game Carlos Condit. The decision was never really in doubt, but the match was early in the third round when Carlos Condit connected with a head kick to GSP that put him down. Probably as close as anyone's come to taking out GSP to date. But he wasn't able to finish. From there, GSP continued to use his wrestling as he did through the entire fight. Superior wrestling, just top position, ground and pound. A bloody Carlos Condit by the end. GSP solidified his status as the welterweight kingpin of mixed martial arts.
Well, and like I've been saying all along, the interim championship meant nothing.
It really did not mean anything in this case. You got to beat the man. If the man's still available to fight, well, GSP, and you just have to wait around for GSP. I'm not a huge fan of waiting around for champions, but whatever, injuries happen. But what can you do? I don't know. I mean, you got to sell pay-per-views too, though. So,
what else happened on that card that was noteworthy?
Well, the co-main event was the Martin Campman Johnny Hendricks fight, which we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Hendricks with a left hand KOs Martin Campman early in the first round. Brutal.
So what does this mean for Hendricks?
Well, I mean, that's the big question with the finish of both these two fights is what's next for both of these guys. Hendricks is ostensibly the number one contender to GSP's welterweight title. However, the talk from Dana White and certainly given his presence at ringside this weekend or last weekend was Anderson Silva versus GSP. Is that going to happen? Anderson wants it. Dana wants it. GSP, not so much.
Now, why doesn't GSP want that?
Well, I mean, you know, he's got a huge size disadvantage at this point. And, you know, it's Anderson Silva. he gets beat. You know, if GSP gets beat by Anderson Silva, his legacy tarnished? I mean, I guess he's, you know, two pound for pound greats. Somebody's got to go down. Somebody's got to lose. And
is there an opportunity for a draw? I believe there is. If one judge goes one way, the other, and then another judge scores it a draw, there could be a majority or a minority draw. So there's always an out.
There's, well, yeah, but how often does a draw happen?
Never.
And realistically, what we saw from the Condit fight is that GSP is not unbeatable. GSP is not, you know, he's still the top of the food chain in the welterweight division. But you look at that fight and you look at when Carlos caught it with that head kick, and you think, well, if Anderson Silva was doing that head kick,
yeah,
you know, I'm not as excited for that this quote unquote super fight after this GSP Condit fight, because realistically, I think GSP loses.
Oh, definitely, I think so too.
And that's not a slight on GSP. He's a great fighter, but Anderson Silva is not only bigger, but he's just that good.
Yeah.
Would you
think a better super fight would be John Jones against Anderson Silva?
I think it would be. I think that's a fight that matches up better. You know, the John Jones Anderson Silva body types are very similar. They're both dynamic strikers. They're both fast. They're both, you know, very good at what they do. But long limbs. I think that's a better fight. I would rather see GSP, you know, fight Hendricks at this point. I think Hendricks has waited around long enough for his spot. The difference between right now Anderson Silva and GSP in my mind is that GSP has potential challengers, realistic challengers, where Anderson Silva doesn't really at this point.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, who can you throw out there with Silva that realistically has a chance?
That realistically has a chance, and
I can't think of anyone in UFC right now that could.
Not at 185.
Or Japan.
No, I can't think of anybody at 185 right now. And that's – it's unfortunate and awesome at the same time, where you have a guy who's just that good who can move up to 205 and decimate people. And realistically, you could put him in a title fight with John Jones, and I think that's a pick 'em. You know, toss that one up, flip a coin. I think either one of those two could win in that fight. I think it's, you know, to your point, I think that's a much better super fight. I think, I don't know. I mean, Jones is talking about moving up. Anderson's talking about moving up. You know, the champions right now are very dominant in the upper weight classes. And it's unfortunately it's taking a lot of intrigue out of their divisions.
Yeah. Who's the heavyweight? It's Dos Santos, right?
Who's his next?
It's going to be Cain. Yeah.
It's going to be Cain Velasquez in here, what, 4 weeks?
So where do you see that one going? We're just kind of talking MMA at this point, but
I think I still like Dos Santos.
Yeah,
based on the prior fight of Dos Santos Cain. I mean, I think Cain will probably last longer this time. He's probably going to have a better game plan. But I think Dos Santos is just big and strong and strikes and hits like a mule. Is he as far ahead of Velasquez as Anderson Silva is to his opponents, GSP is to his opponents? No. But I still think I see Dos Santos winning that fight probably by first or second round KO.
Well, after Cade, who's left in the heavyweight division, just Alistair at that point, I would say.
Well, I mean, you got Alistair Overeem.
Cormier is not really an effective challenger.
Cormier is not at this point. They do need to build up some other challengers.
Do you get Josh Barnett in?
I don't think Barnett's any more credible than Cormier.
True.
There's lots of time if after Kane, after Alistair, you can probably try to find someone in the lower ranks you could try to build up. There's some other up and coming guys, some journeyman heavyweights that could probably with a fight or two in that interim time period become a credible fighter at that point. We'll just have to see. Right now it's kind of murky. I think there's still challengers coming up. So we'll see. I think there's a lot of question marks about who are the next challengers in a lot of divisions in the UFC right now.
I couldn't agree more, but I'm going to cut it a little short right now, Omega Squad, because we have our guest at this time, Ryan Hollis. He came from fresh off a win at Legacy Fighting Championship 15, and I'm going to bring him on right now. All right, Ryan, you're on the air with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
We are doing well. Now, the first question I wanted – well, we'll talk about the banana suit and everything coming up. But the first thing I wanted to talk about is I was reading your bio, and you had a tough upbringing. Just go into your upbringing a little bit.
Okay. Basically, I grew up in a lot of bad neighborhoods. I was picked on a lot as a kid. Throughout high school, I was right when I first got into high school, I was 4'1". So I was literally the shortest and skinniest kid in school. So I attracted a lot of attention, and you know, we get picked on and put on top of lockers, and you know, just standard bully stuff, I guess. I lived in neighborhoods where, you know, if you walked around and you weren't with your friends, you were liable to get jumped or called out for, you know, not being the same color as somebody else, and not very good areas. And my mother never really, you know, we were alone. My dad wasn't there, and we never had a really, you know, everything we needed, so you know, it was hard to have food, and you know, I don't know, it was tough, but you know, who hasn't had one?
So at that point, you're getting picked on and everything. Is that when you decided to go into mixed martial arts?
I got picked on, and I ended up getting in seventh grade, I got 37 referrals and had been sent to alternative school twice for fighting. And every single one was in defense, I might add. But you know what? My mom decided to stick me in martial arts, and I started training in American Kenpo and in Taekwondo, so, you know, so that if they attacked me, that she would feel I would be more disciplined to make a better choice and or be able to defend myself. So, but yeah, so basically I started getting martial arts, and you know, I started transitioning to, you know, different styles, from American Kenpo to boxing to Health and Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and for about the next 8 years. And about when I hit 19, 20, I started training mixed martial arts, just in standard mixed martial arts, with, you know, everything combined, wrestling, striking, and Jiu-Jitsu, and you know, I'd always watched UFC, and it just, I was always a, you know, fan. I would just sit at home all day and watch a UFC fight, so it kind of just fell into place.
All right, so after, how long did it take for you to train before you were ready for your first amateur fight?
I trained for 7 or 8 years in standard martial arts, like I said, American Kenpo and Taekwondo and stuff, but I only trained for about 3 years in MMA specific, and then I had my first unsanctioned fight at what we called Alabama Coushatta Indian Reservation, where I guess they were thrown there because laws couldn't, like, they couldn't step in and tell you couldn't throw the event, yada, yada, I don't know. But basically I had 5 unsanctioned fights, and at that time I thought that that's what amateur was because I was so ignorant to what, you know, the little ins and outs of the sport, that I was being told that this was going on my record, and I had 5 fights. And basically after that, I tried to look myself up, and I couldn't find that, and then I was like, you know, oh, holy crap, you know, I haven't been fighting, you know, under the state. And basically I got into contact with my coach now, Charles Ontiveros, and I got under the team Hardhead Hitters, and I had my first amateur fight for Legacy Amateur Series, which is Legacy Fighting Championship Amateur Division.
Mm-hmm.
And basically won my first fight by decision. And but I don't know, I would say about a good 3 years of MMA training. So maybe about 10 years of training in all before I, you know, actually started fighting amateur.
Now, Ryan, I've seen a few of your fights on YouTube and other sites, and it looks like you have a very well-rounded game. I saw you throw a bunch of submissions on. You seem to have some pretty decent striking. What do you feel is your greatest strength in your what's your style in mixed martial arts? What's your best? What, are you better on the ground than you are standing up? Or
most definitely. You know, I like, you know, I guess growing up watching UFC and getting this, you know, I would literally watch every event, and even on the undercards I would look it up, you know, each match individually and watch everybody's fight. So I never grew up just watching one guy and getting to like one style. I appreciate all the different, you know, forms of martial arts and the different styles that they have. So I like to do a little bit of everything, but definitely my best style would be my jiu-jitsu, and that's the one I've trained in the most. I would call it my fail-safe. So, you know, things aren't going well, then I just throw it up or throw my submissions up, and I usually am able to squeeze out the win. But I like to strike, though. I love to strike. Like, it's fun for me. You know, when I want to have fun in a fight, I'll stand up and I'll strike, and I like to throw a lot of head kicks, you know, from taekwondo. But definitely, if I'm trying to win, I'm just trying to get it out of the way. If I don't want to play, then I usually just go to my submissions.
Yeah, I was watching your pro debut for Legacy Fighting Championship.
Yeah.
With Matt Schnell.
Controversial
loss for you in your pro debut. But in that fight, I saw that you were kind of, it seemed to me like you were kind of trying to fight a more technical fight in the first round. And then kind of, I don't know if you got mad or you started throwing the kicks you're talking about. You saw that one side kick right to his face in the second round. Just talk about that fight a little bit. What did you just come in with cold feet with the pro debut and just not get going till the second or third round?
Yeah. You know what? That fight, I let so much talk get into my head, and I let everybody's observation of the fight get to me whenever I really shouldn't have been, you know, listening to it. I was online too much, and I was reading what everybody was saying, and, you know, nobody knew me, so, you know, nobody knew me, nobody was always there. You know, I didn't have a reality TV show, you know, it's where everybody could see me train, and, so, you know, everybody was basically going for this guy. You know, oh yeah, this guy's gonna win, and he trains with Tim Crater and Dustin Poirier, and you know, and I train out of a no-name gym in Cleveland. That's the way they see me. So, you know, I'm talking about his purple belt in jiu-jitsu and all this stuff. So I went in there, and all I could think about the first round was I knew he was gonna try to take me down, and I know I have good jiu-jitsu, but I didn't really want to wrestle with him. So really, my game plan at first was to move around and, you know, get him aggravated, you know, play with him a little bit, you know, get it to where he was going to rush in on me and then me catch him with a counter punch, you know, coming in. But, you know, because I knew the second I started trading with him, he was going to duck one of my punches, grab me, and slam me, take me down. So That's why I chose to stay on the outside a lot, and I was trying to be more technical instead of just going balls to the wall and throwing combinations, and because I really didn't want to get caught and have them take me down.
Yeah, I had scored the fight 2-1 in your favor, just without knowing the result beforehand. I think when I look at your next fight against Matthew Thompson, looked to me like you kind of started saying, okay, I'm going to take the risks. I'm going to start throwing punches, start going all out right at the start. Is that kind of what you did going into that next fight?
Yeah, it's actually exactly it. Me and my coaches had talked, and the whole Matt Schnell fight, because I was strictly jiu-jitsu for a long time, and my teammate Charles Ondiveros, who's now 3-0 as a pro, he's taekwondo black belt, and everybody else in my camp trained striking. So we went balls to the wall striking to get ready for Matt Schnell, because we knew he had jiu-jitsu, but we didn't know about his striking. So we wanted to try to take him out in the striking department. So by the time Matt Thompson came around, I'd already been training in my striking for a while. It's just I wasn't confident enough to use it in my Matt Schnell fight due to me being worried about being taken down. So, and then that changed as that the rounds went on in that fight. I got more confident. I started landing more strikes. Definitely when that fight came, I talked to my coaches and we were just like, we can't have this again. We can't go in there and then, not throw punches and let this guy take me down and lose another decision. So I didn't want to be the guy who's, trying to make it to the UFC and he's 0-2. So, basically, I just like you said, I went balls to the wall and I just kind of put my fears to the side and I said, okay, if he hits me, then, he's going to hit me with a punch, but I'm going to make sure I hit him with 3 or 4 punches. So, so that's basically it. I changed it from being technical to just trying to knock this guy's head off, basically.
Now, getting into your third pro fight, you decided to do the walkout with a banana suit on. Bass Rutten even said you're the banana man. So what was the thought process with that?
Actually, that the guy that I had fought that time was his name's Wolf Spidel. And back when I fought on the Indian Reservation for the unsanctioned fights, he actually fought for that same organization. And he fought, every single time I fought on the same event. And every single time I fought, he would come cage side and dust his shoulder off at me. And I have it on video, too. On some of my videos online, him just being cage side, just blowing me off, basically. And then he'd call me out in blogs saying that he wants to fight me and basically stalking me, so... I had a lot of bad blood with him, so whenever I came into that fight, and then especially the last legacy fight that I had with Matt Schnell, with that fight I tried to play more the aggressor role. I knew everybody was going to be on Matt Schnell's side, so I was kind of mad and I played more the heel instead of the good guy, I got tired of it. I was like, you know what? I want people to laugh and, I want people to when they see me, they'd be like, yeah, this guy's a good fighter, but he's also a good guy. And so I tried to think, I need to do something to, make these people laugh. And, they got me on the undercard. And if I do something crazy enough, maybe they'll throw me on TV. If not as a part of the broadcast, they'll have me on a highlight on Inside MMA. Maybe I'll get, the WTF of the week. So, and I knew if I did something crazy enough that, maybe somebody in the big house would notice me. So so basically, I was a banana for Halloween, and I'd got the costume because my son was Spider-Man. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to be a banana. If I got to be something, I'm going to be something that's funny. And basically, that's how that came to terms. I just wanted to make people laugh and hope that they would put the – at least walk out on Inside MMA, and then somebody in the UFC or another big promotion would notice me and possibly pick me up. So
we appreciate that you came out in the banana suit and not a banana hammock like Dennis Hallman. talk about the actual fight with Spidel there. You pulled out a very nice submission at the in round two. Kind of looked like he kind of fell into your triangle.
Yeah,
kinda
yeah. He just
armbarred him.
Yeah, he. I didn't see a submission coming at that time. I knew my game plan was to try and submit him because the only loss on his amateur record at that time was by rear naked choke, and because he was 6-1 as amateur, and basically I knew he trained Muay Thai and stand up, so I wanted to get in his head and move around, play with him, throw my hands up, you know, get him thinking, you know, those times in the fight when, you know, he would be putting his hand out to judge the distance, you know, for his big right hand. And I would just slap his hand out of my face, and I would tell him, you know, get your hand out of my face, punk, and all this other stuff, you know, trying to get him angry. That way he would try to throw this big haymaker at me, and then I would duck and meet him, you know, halfway and then take him down. Because I knew if I just shot in for, like, a double leg or, you know, something, there was more of a chance of him sprawling and defending the takedown, so... basically that's what I was doing. I just played around with him the whole time and I went up to throw a fake hook and then I ducked down and he swung the haymaker and then I scooped and took him down. And I got on top of him and I tried to get the side control to lay down some elbows. Because I didn't really see a submission right there, so I was just going to try to ground and pound him out. And he actually escaped out the back door and went to throw me over. And, whenever I just tried to get on my back to get him into my guard. And like you said, his head just kind of ended up in my triangle. And I seen his head between my legs. I just threw the triangle up and I hooked under his leg and I tried to make it tighter, but he wasn't looking like he wanted to tap. So I just I threw the leg over and did the triangle to armbar conversion, which is I've actually done that in a couple of my amateur fights before. I worked on it a lot.
Yeah, it was very impressive. I'm looking at your style. I see a lot of similarities in both your stature and also your style. It's similarities to the Diaz brothers. Are those? Do you take anything from those guys? And if not, then who do you kind of emulate in your martial arts style?
Oh yeah, definitely, man. Those guys, I don't want to say they're my heroes because I don't think anybody's, you know, my hero per se besides maybe my little boy, but, they definitely do have a big, influence on me because as I was growing up, I used to watch Nick Diaz a lot and, a lot of Nick Diaz and a lot of Anderson Silva. So, you know, and Anderson Silva, not a lot of people talk about him, but he does the same thing along the lines of, you know, what Nick Diaz can do. It's a lot of intimidation and a lot of getting in your opponent's head. I noticed, you know, because they're not the most physical gifted, you know, or physically gifted guys. You know, they don't have big, you know, they're not the biggest guys you've ever seen, but, you know, they win a lot. And, you know, And I started studying that, and I noticed that it wasn't necessarily from what they do. It's they get their opponents to do what they want to do from getting inside their head and making them, you know, think that there's something they can do. And so, you know, I watched him a lot, and a lot of the reason I watched him a lot, too, is just because, you know, my body build and then my weight class is very similar to theirs. You know, I'm very lanky. I got long arms. You know, when I fight, I like to talk to my opponent and basically, like, bash at him and get him aggravated.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, so, I mean, they definitely have a big influence on what I do, and I study him a lot.
So you fight flyweight. Do you have trouble getting fights at that weight? No. We see with the UFC, there doesn't seem to be very many. It's a very new weight class in UFC. And it doesn't get a lot of attention. How do you feel about fighting a flyweight? Do you think you having trouble getting fights?
Oh, definitely. There's just not a lot of guys at that weight class. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It hasn't been around long enough. It's very hard to find, you know, a grown man that's going to be that size unless he's just, you know, really short. But, you know, a lot of the guys that are that size, aren't, you know, they haven't stepped up yet, you know, to start fighting professionally, you know. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the problem with that is a lot of these smaller guys, they don't have nobody to train with. That's their size, all, you know, like them. Like me, I guess I'd say, I don't train with anybody my size. Everybody I train with is 155 through 185.
Hmm.
Because there's just no flyweights. I mean, there might
right.
be one, you know, to two per gym, depending on where you're at. So, you know, definitely it's hard to find them, but, you know, whenever we do find them, I guess the good thing is there's just not that many. So I've already seen them fight before, you know, if they're a flyweight, I've seen them fight.
Good.
Just because, yeah, there's just, I don't know, yeah, there's just not that many.
Yeah. So it sounds like I have to get off my butt and start training so I can get on the flyweight. anyway,
hey, I mean, I don't know, man. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm a little too old.
Nothing.
Yeah, I'm a little too old to be starting that, I think. You know, you talked about wanting to go to the UFC eventually. And I'm sure if they were called tomorrow, you'd be there in a heartbeat. If you had your way, would you have one or two more fights before you took that next step, or are you ready to go now?
Well, man, I guess that's a hard question, because I mean, right now, you know, I'll say, you know, without hesitation, I'd go in a heartbeat. If they called me, you know, even if they were at like a, even if they offered me a fight at 145, knowing that I don't have, you know, 145 pounds of muscle. You know, I'm obviously, you know, a flyweight or a bantamweight the most. You know, I would take it just because, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I've been training just as long as a lot of these guys in the sport have been training. You know, I have a lot of experience. I've had, you know, 15 cage fights now. You know, it's, every day I wake up, you know, it gets a little harder. You know, I start getting more pains and, you know, and I wake up with back pain, or I wake up with, you know, my foot, you know, be hurting from training, and, you know, it's just, you know, we don't live that long, so, you know, I'm ready skill-wise, but definitely, if they called, I would take it. I would love to have, you know, a fight or two more outside, I guess, but I don't know, I'm just trying to get there as soon as I can. That's a lot of the reason for, you know, me going out and doing the banana suit, was to try to, you know, get exposure. Even if I look like, you know, the goofy dude who, you know, everybody laughs at, you know, if that gets him to look at me, even just to look at my video just for like 10 seconds to hear my name, then that's what I was trying to do. So.
All right. Now, where can people follow you to follow your career?
They could check me out on Facebook. It's under Ryan Hollis, or I have a fan page, Ryan Riptide Hollis, or on Twitter at UFCGuru09. And basically, you know, if I'm not fighting and if I'm not here with my wife or my kid, I'm on there and I'm possibly trying to promote a fight or, you know, search for my next fight. You know, that's basically my second home.
Now, do you have another fight lined up at this point, or you're still looking?
Actually, I'm looking, because since I went pro September 14th and fought Matt Chanel, I fought every month. I fought him September, then I fought Matt Thompson in October, and then I fought Legacy 15 in November. I'm trying to fight every month because I want to speed up the process. You know, I'm 23 years old now, and, you know, there's been guys that make it to the UFC at 19, and I want to be that guy in the UFC who has, like, you know, 30 fights, you know, so I want to be the guy that's fighting on every single event, you know, even though it's impossible. I want to be the first. So I'm currently looking for one December, but I have one. I have a title fight lined up February, which will be my first professional title fight. But I'm trying to fight December and January just to get a couple in between, so I can get some money for my family and
mm-hmm.
you know, make everything a lot smoother.
Okay, and would you like to throw out plugs for your gym and your trainers?
Sorry, repeat that.
Would you like to throw out a plug for your gym and your trainers?
I don't know if you can explain to me what a plug is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who are your
promo?
Yeah,
advertisement.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you got to forgive me. I'm a fighter. You know, I'm not too bright. But yeah, my gym is Hardhead Hitters / Tiger Warriors Martial Arts, and we're located in Cleveland, Texas. And my trainer is Charles Ontiveros. My sponsors are Deviati Autosports, and you can go there and, you know, get your car, you know, wrapped, and they got, you know, they hook you up and make your car look nice and shiny and pretty. And my sister gym, One MMA, which is located in Pasadena, Texas, and my coach Mondo De Leon, who works with me with my striking. And I mean, that would basically be it. I guess, you know, if anybody's ever looking to train or come out and spar, and, you know, just hit us up.
All right, Ryan, this was a complete pleasure. Good luck on the rest of your career, and I hope you find a fight in December and January. But thank you so much for coming on the program.
Man, well, thank you all for having me. It was awesome.
All right, and I'll keep in touch, sir.
All right, okay, thank you.
All right, you have a good night.
All right, you too.
All right, so that was Ryan Hollis, the Banana Man, as Bass Rudin said. And we'll be right back after this.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
Right, so that was Ryan Hollis. Man, that was awesome.
Sounds like a good guy.
Yeah, that was great. Brady, I brought you back on. I guess you charged up the phone a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be like John from Providence, Rhode Island tonight. You know, I'll keep calling back and calling back until you get tired of me.
As long as you don't sing.
I just wanted to apologize about earlier. You know, I was a little distracted. It's been a rough night around the Hicks household, and I just kind of wanted to explain, if that's okay.
No, go ahead.
All right. Well, for the first time since 2004, the love of my life, the sweetheart, the person that I adore, is off the market. Maria Kanellis got engaged tonight, and I'm very upset about that.
Oh, that's crushing.
I know. Now I have no chance.
All right, Brady.
Now you have no chance.
Exactly. You know, whenever there's conventions and Ring of Honor shows and, you know, all these different just gatherings of the wrestling community, you know, there's always that slight hope. There's always that glimmer, but now there's no glimmer.
Look at it this way. Daphne's married. I still have hope.
Oh, no, you don't.
Well, there you go.
I think that's going to happen. All I got,
you're a different kind of guy than me.
All I apparently have to do is buy some alcohol.
Physics tells us that in some universe somewhere, anything that can happen has happened. So in some universe somewhere, Marie is yours.
That doesn't help at all.
Yeah, my
sure
universe
does.
Will be opening up in about an hour when I go to sleep, so it's okay.
Oh, Brady, we don't need to know these things.
Brady! Now, no. If we talk about universe, does that mean I grow a goatee? I can be evil Dan and I just have whatever I want?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
I would call him Bizarro Dan, but I know you.
I think it's time for this once again, Dan.
Daphne. Oh.
There you go.
You can't get a What's New Pussycat going?
Not right now, no. But
Pussycat. Whoa!
This has been a phenomenal show. Ryan Hollis, wow, Omega.
Good
props.
Hey, you guys did. That was a good interview.
Chico was interesting.
Chico was a good interview. It was fun too. Some other guy from the Me Society came on. It was good, I guess.
Ophidian kicking things off.
kicking things off on fire. I mean, you couldn't start a show off better.
Oh, wow. Looking forward to things right now. Of course, we have New Moon Rising Wrestling coming up on the 15th, but before that, we have ECWA Toys for Tots. What match are you looking forward to? I don't want to go over the whole card, but what match are you looking forward to personally?
Who, me?
No, Brady.
Oh, Brady.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about the match that I'm most looking forward to, my gut instinct, the first answer might be the heavyweight title match, but if I really look at it and I think about it, I really want to see Ricky the Model Martinez take on a Mr. Ooh-La-La.
Why?
I think it's a fascinating matchup to me. I think Martinez has a great shot to take the title, and when I had him on in the room a couple weeks ago, he proclaimed when he won the title he was going to hold it forever.
Oh.
Like forever.
Wonderful.
Like he's not going to die.
Forever
well,
and ever.
I hate to tell him, and I don't want to tell a wrestler he's wrong, but everybody died.
Why? You know, he said, like he put it, I mean, look at this body. Do you really think he's ever going to break down?
Yes.
Ricky the Model. I got to get him back on.
And then I said to him, so if you get signed to WWE, I mean, you're still going to be the Mid-Atlantic champion? And there was a pause, and then he said, what part of forever don't you understand, Brady?
He did say forever. You know, I mean, that's pretty much forever and ever, you know, ever. Of course, Elizabeth Taylor is supposed to live forever.
You know what? The thing about Ricky, he's very young, and I didn't think that it would be that great. But he is one of the best interviews we've done, I think.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's
very quick, very snappy, very hashtaggy as well. But so that's the match you're looking forward to. Do you think that the reign of Ooh-La-La is over at this point?
At this point, you know, I really do. I mean, I thought Ricky was going to win the belt last month, and he didn't. But I think the fact that he's getting a rematch, it's not looking good for Ooh-La-La.
Well, there you go. So, and Brady, coming up the 15th at December to Remember, what match are you looking forward to? I know all of them aren't public right now, but what are you looking forward to that have been announced? Really, it's only two. It's Jake against Tank and Ty against Justin, which one do you see as being the match?
The tag team match has been announced on the card.
Has it been publicly?
It's on the poster.
Oh. Okay, and the tag team.
Yeah, no, I believe that was announced, yeah. I think, now, given that I'm a relatively recent New Moon Rising Wrestling fan, I mean, I only really started watching them around March or April this year, I've only really seen two men in the main event picture, Luis the Punisher Martinez and Jake Bishop. And the fact that Hank Toland is stepping up to the main event now and he's going to be taking on Jake Bishop, that's a fascinating matchup to me because it's something different that I haven't seen in New Moon. So that match, obviously, is the match that I'm most excited for.
Yeah, you would be.
I am.
A dummy watching.
Not a dummy, Dean.
A dummy watching the dummy.
Credit.
Ow.
Ow.
You know, last time I saw Tank and Dean in the same room, Dean was running like a little girl, so...
Hey, hey.
And for the record, I didn't run away from Papana.
Hey, here's the thing. When you got a man that looks like Tank Toland coming at you with a kendo stick, you get the hell out of the room. That's all I gotta say.
I would just keep my mouth shut otherwise. That's just me.
And how about Justin America making the Superman reference at the end of that match? Did you catch that?
What Superman reference?
Dean, Kane.
Oh, will you stop it?
Oh, Dean Kane.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I was thinking the same thing during the match. Like, as I'm shooting it, I'm going, the guy from Superman?
Yeah, Dean Kane.
Dean Kane. Dean Kane's here?
Well, not only that.
Next time, Dean. I'm sorry.
As I was editing that, there is someone, I think it was Rich, part of the fans that were there. I believe he yelled out, Dean Kane, where? Because I had to put the clips together at that point, but that's going a little too far behind the scenes. But
yeah.
I heard it many, many a time.
Did you see my part? Oh, no, not again.
Unfortunately, the edit, you can see it, but that photographer with the bandana on his head obscured you.
I am going to... We're talking about getting a better camera, and I'll just leave it at that, and I'm going to shove the bigger one right there. I swear to God. Why do you keep getting in my way?
Mr. Floor Manager's got to take charge.
I'm going to take charge. Oh, we've been talking, sir.
Taking charge.
One of the things, not letting Brady in the door.
Oh, stop it. I need my tag team broadcast partner.
Oh, that's cute.
You need me.
Oh, that's cute. You know what?
You do need me, Dean Cain.
He does, because he's the voice of reason at that table.
Oh, stop it, Dan.
My favorite line of the night.
Voice of credibility.
I don't know if it actually made the broadcast. I don't know. I understand that match might be featured in Scoop Slam coming up, the I Hate You match. But my favorite part was toward the end of that match when Justin America, he's laying there, and it looks like he has a wet spot under his head. And I say, oh, my God, like, is he bleeding out of the back of his head? Why is it all wet there? And Anthony Gigante, the senior official, walks right up to the microphone, and he ends in and he says, I think that's an orange.
It made it.
Thank you, Anthony.
I heard it.
I was just saying, it made... Shh, Omega.
He's allowed to see it.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm part of the show.
Yeah.
I have privileged information.
That's true. It hasn't been released to the public.
I didn't see you at New Moon.
Doesn't mean that it won't ever be.
That's right. I went into critique, and he critiqued.
That's right. I saw only a preliminary version.
Yes.
Was it a positive critique?
It was. Just a few editing things. Commentary fine, edit was, there were problems, but...
There was problems about that goddamn cameraman!
Yes, the photographer, I think this one was actually paid, not brought in by Captain Dave, but...
Paid or not, he's not paid to stand in the actual camera's way. You know, I'm just saying.
And you're looking at the hard cam, right? And you just see this bumbling fool get in your way at every opportunity.
There's a couple times I looked up at the hard cam because I know Jake or Justin, or, well, obviously not Justin, but Jake or somebody watching it, and I know the camera caught me a couple times going, oh my God.
It would have been really good as if he stood and he blocked the hard cam with the back of his head.
Oh, that would have been great, yeah. He would have stood there and just, you know, no show. That's awesome.
But some
of the cuts had to be made because this bumbling idiot in a big, bright... In a big, bright blue poncho.
I mean, Dean makes a lot of mistakes, but I don't call him a bumbling idiot.
How is that hiding from anybody? The lights go out, you can still see the guy get in my way. The best part was the entrance. He stands in front of the entranceway. Dude, move! Bitch.
But
I'm glad I'm not on Dan's crew.
You are on Dan's crew.
You are on my crew, buddy.
No, I'm not.
I'm
not on your floor.
Okay.
I'm getting an elevated platform soon, and I won't be
on
your floor.
You're not on my floor. I'm not letting you in.
Oh, my goodness.
And anybody who buys tickets.
I'm like a rat. I'll find my way in.
Yeah, you're just like a rat. Big, fat rat.
Fat comments already. Now,
fat. Brady, I'm going to say it. I'm fat.
Brady, the Shield made their debut on Raw. How did you think it went over? And this is for everybody as well.
Well, you know, I am a big fan of two out of those three guys. Yeah, the third guy, that Roman Reigns, I never heard of in my life. But Dean Ambrose is probably the consummate student of the game. I just said this on In the Room the other night. The only few times that I had the opportunity to talk to him, he's just one of those guys that just to like follow people around. He carries bags. He soaks in knowledge. He is Triple H 20 years ago.
Huh.
He is Triple H 20 years ago. Every story that you hear about Hunter Hearst Helmsley, how he would carry people's bags and he just want to walk with Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair or Kevin Nash and just soak in everything he could. That is Dean Ambrose, and I'm so excited for him that he gets to be out there now and do his thing, and you could really see it in his promo. He knows what he's doing. I looked at him. I saw a little bit of Triple H. I saw a little bit of Brian Pillman. You know this guy's studying the greats, and he's just going to be one of those guys that you remember. And as far as the other guy, I remember him as Tyler Black. I forget offhand what they call him, the former Ring of Honor champion. He's awkward on the mic. He's good in the ring. But he just, you know, when
Seth
he's
Rollins,
talking, he just,
Seth
he's
Rollins,
just awkward.
Right?
Yes, Seth Rollins. Yeah, I couldn't think of the name that they had christened him with.
And
but
Dean
I know
Ambrose,
him as Tyler Black.
But Dean Ambrose, he was known as John Moxley in CZW.
John Moxley, yes.
I mean,
yes,
he was
CZW,
the former
Dragon Gate USA, yes.
The former champion there. So another guy that DJ had a little handle on that has made it. Right?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's one of those talents, you know. He's it was one of those cases where everybody knew they had something special when he was there.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Dan? What'd you think of the Shield?
I really like it. I think it was well executed, and I knew one of the guys, and it was Dean Ambrose, and I knew who that was, and I was very happy to see him in the role. So far, so good. As long as they don't jump the gun, but they also don't slow it down. Like we were talking the other night on In the Room, Brady, about how slow the Aces and Eights thing is.
Yeah.
As long as they don't do it, like, that slow, this could be the angle of the year, quite frankly. It's almost over.
How about you, Omega?
Well, unlike Brady and Dan, I haven't had the opportunity to have seen these guys before.
Naturally.
What does that mean? Anyway. You know, I liked what I saw. I'm kind of reserving judgment at this point. I think it could work. I think it could be a complete disaster. I just don't know yet. the one thing I don't like is I really don't like the Shield. You know, the Shield.
Oh,
I don't really,
yeah.
You know, I don't really care for that. I don't know if they're trying to go for the comic book thing, or they're just calling it the Shield because that's what they thought was a good name. I don't know.
No,
whatever.
I will say that I agree with you about the name. I don't understand the name. I'm sure they'll try to explain it, but you're right. I mean, this could go the way of the last NWO.
The Core.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Core.
It
could go
the
Core.
Yeah. If you think about like creative lulls, the way they have been now and naming their last few stables, it's just you can tell that you know they're really reaching.
Well, you know, the other thing is wasn't there another guy in WWE named Reigns too? Wasn't there Luther Reigns?
Yes.
Oh wow.
He was stuck with Angle for a little while.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone remembers that though, honestly. Besides you.
Well, besides me, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do remember it, but I he wasn't that significant, you know?
No, he wasn't. I agree with that. But
didn't he have a horseshoe haircut or something?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Brains. At least it wasn't Big T. I mean, Ahmed Johnson.
So, Brady, do you have anything you want to bring up? Maybe the Who Slammies?
Yeah, absolutely, Dean. Right now, if you go to thebradyhicks.com or you go to the In the Room on WEXP Facebook page, by the way, that name's going to be changing soon, but more on that later. You can vote for the 2012 Who Slammy Awards. It's the site awards for thebradyhicks.com. We have all different categories, best audio show, best video show, best rookie, best interview of the year, best impression. Dan Lowell, you're actually leading best impression right now on the polls. I just checked.
Thank you.
Cyndi Lauper, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, so, Cyndi Lauper.
So everybody, you know, go on thebradyhicks.com, vote. You can also Twitter your votes to In the Room Podcast, Brady Hicks. I'm sorry, I guess I should say at Brady Hicks, at In the Room Show. And, yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
Thank you for the honor. It's wonderful to be nominated.
Awesome. Definitely awesome. We're also up. I noticed I was up for an award. You didn't tell me this initially, Brady, but best rivalry. Dean Dixon versus the Monster Factory. And I had the distinct honor and privilege to see the legend, the icon, Larry Sharp, chomping on a cigar.
Now, this is actually going to be, now, if you continue, this will actually be your first official thing you've ever said about the Monster Factory on the show.
No, that's all I'm saying. I had the distinct honor and privilege to, you know.
I saw him once on a train on the way to Atlantic City. I swear to God. I swear to God it was him.
An icon. But, hey.
I'm going to go gamble. I'm going to put some money on the factory.
Yo, Lair.
Hey. Yo, Lair.
Anyway. Anyway, before we go too far.
Before we get shot.
But it's a distinct privilege. Also, we're up for rookie, and the Carino interview was doing
best
well
audio.
Last night. Well, best wrestling program.
Things up there.
Best audio wrestling, best audio entertainment.
I guess that's because we had Bob Levy on. I don't know.
Well, best audio meaning how it sounds or just...
No, just the best audio.
Best audio show.
Yeah.
You know, like, at one time, there weren't any video casts on thebradyhicks.com, so the award was the best program on the show, you know, the best for wrestling, the best for entertainment. And when we added the videos, I had to make that clarification there.
All right. So, Brady, it's an honor to
yeah,
be nominated for so many
honor. Thank you for giving me a third chance here tonight. I'm glad I was able to contribute a little more. And sorry about earlier, you know, I was a little down in the dumps, but I'm feeling better.
Like I said, if we could give John 15 chances, we at least give you three.
Anytime he calls, he hasn't called tonight, but anytime he
very
calls,
upset about that.
Well, you know,
hey,
I don't have boobies.
He sang for
well,
me.
You know
tonight.
What? I can give you guys a treat right now if you'd like the gift of John 24/7. I don't know if you knew about this, but John actually has his own YouTube channel. And if you
no,
go
that's
there,
a, that's okay. I wouldn't.
No, he's,
if you go
he's,
there,
he's made a few videos
songs,
for me.
All of the songs that he sang, with an assortment of different names attached to each of the songs, they're all available on this channel on demand. So you can click on John's song for Brady, John's song for Mike Bessler, John's song for Dean Kane. You know, John sings songs for everybody. He sings songs for Mia Yim. I don't know if that one's on there. I don't remember seeing that.
You know,
that's
but I'm
a
sure
great
that that song was in there in a different
how way. Is that not on Tosh.0?
I like the way she rows the boat. I like the way she... Ah, man, that was...
That's
I
a
like
Web Redemption right there.
That is a Web Redemption. Or at least Ray William Johnson. Like, somebody's got to pick up on this.
But Brady...
I had him do... The Mia Yim song for Kevin Sullivan, and it was a blast.
What did Kevin say? I don't know because I don't listen.
Well, maybe it wasn't Kevin Sullivan. It was one of them.
That's
Kevin
great.
Was interesting, but he loves to talk. You know, he loves to talk. He
let me tell
like
you something, Brady
minutes.
Hicks.
Let me tell you something.
That's how it is. That's how he sounds.
Let me tell you something. When I said I wanted Goldberg to go over, and then
well,
they didn't put Goldberg over.
Hey,
while
did
he
you...
was talking, I took two commercial breaks because I couldn't stop him.
Kevin, we're going to take a break.
Well,
when you come
right
back
from commercials.
When you come back from break, I got a great story.
Did you ask any questions about a woman, Nancy Benoit?
I really wanted to. Like I really wanted to, and part of me felt like it was my job as a journalist to do that. But,
yeah.
You know, he gave us so many other interesting things, and I didn't want to
bring it down.
Upset him. You know, I didn't want to bring it down. You know, I wasn't sure how to fit that in. And you know, in addition, I was kind of doing a favor for Ryan Kelly, my good friend at Missouri Wrestling Revival, a great friend of the show and the site who hooks us up with these awesome interviews, so I also didn't want to do him the misjustice.
Did you, in fact, ask about the Yeti? Nope, nobody gets
no.
that? Halloween Havoc 95? Come on!
But I love how Kevin Sullivan says that the three-hour Raws aren't the problem.
No?
Because You know, you watch 3 hours of football.
True.
Right?
No.
I mean, you don't get bored watching 3 hours of football, do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're different, though. Most people don't get bored with that.
That's a very good point, though.
You know, you watch a three-hour baseball game. Why not watch 3 hours of wrestling? But it has to be good.
They rig football better than wrestling.
It was an interesting listen. I definitely recommend anybody go back and check it out. Hey, I'm dying again. How about that?
I'm just very happy I can add Kevin Sullivan to my impressions.
There you go. But
no,
Brady...
Hey, Gary, what's a booking office?
But
like Cindy Lauper.
Brady, you have a good night. Thank you for coming on. It's always enlightening talking to you.
Thank you, my
friend. All right. Well,
take care.
I'll see you soon.
All right. Take care. See you, Dan.
Yeah, see you, sir.
Bye, Omega. Bye.
See ya.
All right.
See ya.
Yeah. That was Brady Hicks.
Why is Omega always on the bottom? I think we should push him first tonight.
That was a very unenthusiastic goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Well, you know.
I'm hurt now.
Oh, don't be hurt.
I told them I didn't want to push Bill Goldberg. And then when they put Kevin Nash over, and then he had to do the finger poke of doom, on top of the night that you're winning the ratings. I just don't understand.
All right, so great night. If you want to follow Ophidian on Twitter, it's at Ophidian Cobra.
Yeah.
Chico is ECWA Ring Voice.
Not anymore.
The surprise guest of the evening, Justin America, is Justin America 82. Ryan Hollis does not have a Twitter, but follow him on Facebook. And
He does have a Twitter.
Does he? You found it?
At UFC Guru 09.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, sweet.
Look at Omega still
doing the
homer.
And everybody blows him off like nothing.
Mm.
The only one that doesn't blow you off is Papadon. He doesn't let you off the hook.
Papadon will not let me off the hook. Yeah. He's not about to. He's just mad because my name is kind of
awesome.
Half of his finishing move. So.
True. The Alpha Omega.
Let me tell you something, Omega. That's what I need, a Papadon impression so I can get killed.
And, of course, he fights for Legacy Fighting, and that's at Legacy Fighting. Some websites to check out, ChikaraPro.com, ECWAProWrestling.com, LegacyFights.net, NMRWrestling.com are a few places to go. Now, next week, Dan.
Oh!
Next week.
I am excited.
Just a few days removed, I believe. Let's see. It's going to be like 4 days before Matt Tremont steps inside the cage of death with DJ Hyde to end this.
Hopefully. Before somebody does die.
It's a matter of respect. It's a matter of a lot of things. We're going to have Matt Tremont on to talk about Cage of Death 14 coming from Voorhees, New Jersey. That's December 8th. Also, Craven Vero. We'll have him on to talk about PWS, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, as he's going to be making his debut. I believe he's making his debut this Friday. No, I'm wrong. He's going to be making his debut on the 7th. That's a Friday for PWS. So that's big for Craven Vero. Then December 5th, Dan, take it away.
Ladies and gentlemen, the legend, one of the members, the founding members of the Four Horsemen, Mr. Tully Blanchard, is going to join us in the cell.
NWA Hall of Famer. WWE Hall of Famer.
WWE Tag Team Champion. WCW Tag Team Champion. WCW U.S. Champion.
Not WCW. NWA.
NWA U.S. Champion. Was it NWA? Yes, it was. Yes, I'm sorry. NWA U.S. Champion. All right, I have a question after. I'll ask after.
But a lot of accolades. NWA Television Champion as well. He feuded with all the top stars.
One of the first bad guys that everybody liked.
It's debatable. It's debatable whether he was liked.
Well, that's a good point.
But
it's Tully Blanchard, man.
I think a lot of... And the thing about Tully Blanchard, of course, he lived that lifestyle, the Four Horsemen lifestyle. It caught up with him.
Yeah.
There were some problems. We'll get into it with him. There were some problems, and he was left without a job. He didn't have WWE to go back to. Well, WWF at the time. He didn't have WCW at the time to go back to. And he found himself at the bottom, Dan.
Now, didn't they very shortly after that, wasn't he, remember when they had, and you guys, again, you're probably going to laugh at me on my memory. Remember when Slamboree had the Legends reunion?
He did come back in 1993 for Slamboree.
Right, okay. Right.
It was a one-off, though.
I think that was stupid, but that's fine.
It was a one-off with Terry Funk.
Not on his part, on their part.
Well, it was a Legends reunion. At the time, he was out of the business, and he was happy being out of the business. He'll explain it, Dan.
Yeah, all right. That's one of the many questions. You know, at one point, I didn't have any questions for a guy like that, because I, you know, a lot of the stuff I saw afterwards, because I was too young to remember that stuff. But then that Four Horsemen DVD, say what you want about the documentaries WWE's putting out now. That's a great documentary, and there's so many questions that I want to ask based on his interview.
Here's the thing. When I was a young lad, one of the first feuds I remember, and when I would have arguments in school with kids who were too hip to be into wrestling, and they, oh, it's fake, man, 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 you know, 8-9-year-olds, you know, talking about wrestling. He was one guy that I would always say, you didn't see Tully Blanchard and the Four Horsemen take out Dusty Rhodes? They broke his hand, for God's sake. They broke his leg.
They broke his arm. They tore his face up.
They killed him. You didn't see that? You didn't see when Dusty Rhodes came out with a baseball bat? He was always one of those guys that I went back to. He was when he smacked Baby Doll.
Oh, yeah.
And Dusty came out and saved the day and said, she ain't your property no more.
She ain't your property no more, baby.
She belongs to me, Daddy. Wow.
I'm sure she was thrilled.
She belongs to me. But I always found that to be that's something you'll never see today. Oh. Any of that. That whole angle. You wouldn't even, they're fighting over a woman as a possession, but that's neither here nor there.
The 80s.
Oh, man. Oh, that stuff.
And I'm going to make her do my kitchen, Daddy.
Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but on that Four Horsemen DVD, is the segment on there where they're recording pretty much stalking Dusty as he's driving to...
Yeah, no, the whole thing's on there, and they're talking about it.
Yeah.
The whole segment where they follow him through town, and then they jump him outside of, I don't know, some Waffle House, and they break his arm.
I thought it was real.
No, well, everybody like did. They killed him. Well, weren't people calling the police? It was kind of like...
To leave, yes.
Yeah, they had to leave because the cops were coming. No, I didn't break my arm, Daddy.
I'm okay, Daddy. But
I'm okay, Daddy. It was just for TV, baby.
Do your Gary Hart when the guy yells at him. I'm doing TV.
No, I'm doing TV, Daddy-o. No, I'll talk to you in a minute. I'm doing TV. Can't you see I'm pontificating here?
Gary Hart, what a man.
What's a booking office?
If you knew how much, do that one. Do it. I love that.
Wait. Was that the which event was that? Was that Oh man, that was.
It was the first Parade of Champions.
Yeah, the Parade of Champions, the Dallas, Texas, the Cowboys Stadium. If you knew how much I made that night, you wouldn't want to talk to me.
$3,000.
$3,000.
It was a gate of 100.
No. He goes, $3,000 for a gate of 100. What's he say?
Whatever.
$1,000,000. $3,000.
I called up Jim Cornette and I told him I wanted to work for NWA. But oh man.
Gary Hart is truly one of the best minds in the bit. Was truly one of the best minds. God rest his soul. And I know he was trying to make points in the DVD, but Jesus Christ,
just very funny.
He's the man, and that is an interview I wish I we could get. Obviously he's dead, but that's an interview. That's a guy I'd want to sit there for hours and talk to.
No, of course, Stan.
Pontificate.
I certainly agree with that. Of course, on the 12th, we have Mishir Ulala and Azrael joining us. We're going to have Adam Cole on the 19th, Dan.
Hell yeah.
Making his return. He's going to be the last guest of 2012. So that's exciting. And, of course, that's our Christmas-themed episode. It's going to be Breaker's Epic Christmas.
Oh, boy.
I'm more excited than he could ever possibly be.
I was going to say, I'm more excited than he ever will be.
In the 26th, Dan.
It's going to be epic.
In the 26th, of course. He actually likes the Hell in a Cell. I don't know. Maybe he's not paying attention to it. But
what do you mean he likes the Hell in a Cell? No, apparently no. Obviously, he's not listening because, number one, we'd get a message about how, guys, you got to stop talking about Breaker.
No, that's never happened. But he,
guys,
I did receive.
Guys, don't stop talking about me. I swear to God. I'm going to drive to Wawa. I'm going to buy gas money for the gas tank in my car. I'm going to buy toll money for the expressway. I'm going to find where you live. And it ain't going to be pretty.
You won't want to close your blinds.
Don't look out the window. I'll know you're awake.
I'll close your blinds for you.
I'll come to your house and I'll make sure your lights are turned off and your kids are tucked in and the dog was walked before you go to sleep, and I'll make sure your car is warmed up for you the next morning.
You don't want to mess with a crazy man like me.
I'm so out of control that I just bought a new pair of camouflage pants.
Right.
This will never see air.
Oh, well, because of Hell in a
Cell. So, we also
have... The other one's gray. These are red.
Stop it. Don't you like my accessories? But
it's 1992 again.
We also, on the 26th, we're going to have a retrospective, and that's not about the show, because we just had a best of, so that'd be kind of crazy, but...
Oh, let's do it again.
Why not? But there's so much to get out there.
Can we just play the Breaker interview and analyze it?
Like,
pause and go. Now, right here, I'm smashing my head on the desk.
I was trying to get something here.
I was trying to get excitement, but all I got was deadpan.
You know, it could be like Steve Zaff. They asked him to do a promo at the last...
Yes, I asked him to.
And he goes, "My name's Steve Zaff. I'm here for titles. 3 seconds and out."
Yeah, well,
that's all you need.
Was that the one I did? That was the one I told him to do in front of the camera, right?
All right. I heard.
We're doing a new website. We're going to put in a promo. We're gonna put a picture up, and we're going to click your picture, and the video is going to come up. I need 45 seconds. Go. I'm here for titles.
I'm flipping for titles. But he's a tired flipper, everyone.
And you know what? I like Steve and I are buddies now. So.
No, Steve's a great guy. I just wish... never mind. But
I just wish he'd find himself, man.
Yes.
Come on. He's a good guy. And find himself. Like Glenn found himself.
No comment there, but...
Can you actually delete that one?
No. So we're going to have a retrospective on the 26th, Dan, and that's looking back at wrestling and Omega. We're going to look back at MMA as well. It's been a heck of a year in MMA. It's
been a crazy year.
Yeah, it really has. Fights canceled.
Does anybody...
Stephen Bonner retires. Just a lot of stuff.
Is anybody as excited as Breaker in MMA?
A lot of people are as excited.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Shane Carwin.
Yeah.
I'm going to punch his teeth out. It's going to be unbelievable.
That was, you just did a perfect Shane Carwin impersonation, quite frankly.
Great.
I punch people.
I'm going to punch you.
So again, I just want to go over the websites. It is, of course, Chikara Pro. They have a big iPay-per-view, and you can find that on Smart Mark Video On Demand. Also, ECWA Pro Wrestling, their toys for tots are coming up, LegacyFights.net and NMRWrestling.com, because NMRWrestling.com is returning to action on the 15th. So, for Omega Squad, where can they find you, big guy?
They can find me on Twitter at Omega Squad. It's my literal name.
And for Dan Law 83, where can they find you? Even though I just said it.
You can buy my camouflage pants at oldnavy.com.
Just stop it. And for myself, you can find me at Folsom County. You can also follow the show at HIAC Talk Radio. You can also like the Facebook, follow us, subscribe on iTunes, do a bunch of stuff.
Just listen, dang it.
And we'll talk to you next Tuesday, because that's a special Tuesday edition.
Tuesday, Wednesday, folks. Tape machines are rolling.
And that's right. So Tremont and Vero will be here on Tuesday. And then, of course, the legendary Tully Blanchard on Wednesday. And you're going to see a lot of updates about that. But until then, have a great week.
If my late brother was here right now, I know he'd be smiling down, looking down and saying, I wish I was here.
All right.
That was touching.
The legend, Butcher Blackwell. Putting it all out there for everyone.
Give it up for Butcher Blackwell, ladies and gentlemen.
I think a very key thing that he said if his brother was here, he would say he was happy he would be here. Very touching from the heart.
I happen to remember the Blackwell brothers fondly. And I'm sorry, I'm a little broken up.
I am too.
I'm not impressed by your performance.